Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIWFM. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. Pleasant day outside. Should be a pleasant day in here as well, as I'm joined by a couple of pleasant ladies. How about that, girls?
Wow, that's a compliment. Wow.
How about that? Pat Scarborough and Catherine Singleton. Good morning, Pat. What's new today?
It's beautiful and sunny out today.
It is a gorgeous day. How are you doing, Catherine?
I'm doing good.
Welcome to the show, ladies. And what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about all kinds of various things. I kind of build the show, though, with Lynn talking about special needs softball. And that's going to, when does that start?
May 14th.
May 14th. All right. We're going to talk about that soon.
Okay.
You ladies are involved in several different things, though, aren't you, Pat?
Absolutely.
And one of them is the Kingdom Kids at the First Baptist Church, right?
Absolutely.
I had the privilege of helping present a check. I didn't give any of the money for it. I feel terrible that I didn't give any of the money for it.
But you got in the picture, though.
I got in the picture, and I'm the one who was yelling, who kept bringing it up on the radio. So I guess you do one
thing.
There
you go. Okay.
You get in the picture. The almost called it the Wayne County Bank. The People's National Bank.
That's a little throwback there, isn't it?
How long has it been since it's been the Wayne County Bank?
You know, I think that because I do that, but I also still call Taco Chair or Papa Wally's, and people slap me upside the head and what? It hasn't been Papa Wally's since when?
Since they had pizza, and that was 15. Well, you guys were in the health department.
That was
15 years
okay,
ago.
Okay, boys and girls, I've lived here 14 years. It's always been Taco Chair.
You never had it as Papa Wally's.
But when I say, let's go to Papa Wally's, she knows what I mean.
I do know what she means because everybody calls it that.
Well, at least you're not calling it Reuben's.
Yeah, that was back before my time.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Well, you see
yeah, that way would, back.
That's really the way back machine. All right. The Kingdom Kids.
People's National Bank.
People's National Bank graciously donated $500, $501, right? Something like
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was for the every 3-point shot made by the Mules boys basketball team this season. And I've had the distinct displeasure of telling you ladies over the last few minutes, you know, it should have been last year.
Hey, we're just grateful for anything that we that
tell me
is
where that
donated.
Fun. Tell, let's talk a little bit about Kingdom Kids, because I know that you had a fundraiser at the trivia contest the other night, too.
March.
Back in March.
Gosh, it seems like so long ago.
That was only 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, March 13th.
March 13th. Yeah.
We did a trivia night, and we did a silent auction.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It went really well. I mean, we've made every year we've done it. This is our third year of doing it, so we've increased by about $1,000 every year.
That's great.
We probably cleared about $4,500.
Yeah. Wow, about that?
Yeah. So it was our best year, and it, you know, it's good because it, you know, we had enough to get through probably the rest of the year, but that gives us a good start for next year.
Let's talk about what the Kingdom Kids is and the need for the money, because I had never been there. I'd never visited during the day. And I got there for this picture about 3:15, 3:30 one day.
3:15.
Yeah. 3:15 is it's Grand Central Station
it's
there.
It's a moving hop in time.
Let's talk a little bit about that. You've got kids coming in from all kinds of schools, don't you?
We have kids coming in from every school in the Fairfield High School District, yes.
And do the buses drop them off there, I guess? Or
yes.
How does that work?
All the kids are dropped off by bus, except for Center Street, who walk over.
Uh-huh.
Pat goes and meets them at the corner there at First Christian's corner there on Center Street.
Okay.
Center Street and First, and they walk across that way. She crosses them.
And this is and this money goes to help feed these children, presumably.
Part of it's feed, snacks. We actually, our meals that we do in the evenings are pretty much all covered. Every once in a while, we have to cover a meal. But pretty much it covers the activities we do with kids. It takes a lot of activity, a lot of supplies.
A lot of crayons.
A lot of crayons, a lot of markers, paint.
Yeah.
Paper.
A lot of paper. A lot of toilet paper.
Really? I guess it makes sense.
Got a lot of
You've
kids.
Got like 60, 70.
90.
Oh, no, 90.
See, that's the
90.
Thing. And whenever
See,
I was,
yeah.
whenever I walked in there, there were all these kids running around. I didn't even think to count. But my goodness, there was.
Well, you got well, there during the.
There was a young kid.
Northside was there, and I think Jasper had just came in, and Center Street was coming in as you were leaving. So
right.
That's probably, it's 40, it's about 60 kids.
Yeah, I had about 40 or so, 40 or 50 or 60. Yeah. I didn't
well, count. The little guys were outside already right. by the time he got there, so yeah. We had about 35 outside, and then we had about 25 coming in, and then Center Street started coming in. So
it's about another 25.
Right. So these kids, it's basically a latchkey organ type of thing, right? Kind of latchkey, but helping the kids with their homework and stuff.
Yeah, we like to call ourselves more of an enrichment.
Okay.
So that, because we don't just, it's not just they get to come there and right, you know, buy their time until a parent comes and gets them. I mean, we try and do, you know, structured activities with them.
Sure.
And hopefully something is going to go along with. One of the things that we've really tried to start working on is critical thinking.
Oh, really?
Because that look on your face.
No, I'm just sitting here trying to think how you're able to help, how you would work on critical thinking with the kids. Story problems or something
It's story, but it's also interpreting what you're hearing. We've been reading Imagination Station books, but right now we're reading Pilgrim's Progress.
Okay.
And Pilgrim's Progress is an allegory to, you know, the pathway to Christ.
Yeah.
So in reading that and understanding, okay, what does this mean? You know, it's not just about when the guy's talking about a pack on his back. It's not just a pack on his back. It's talking about the weight of his sin.
Yeah.
And trying to, you know, kind of work with them to say that for everything, there's more a deeper meaning to everything. It's just not all superficial.
It's the informed. Well, see, now that's kind of what critical thinking is basically getting a kid to think.
Exactly. Right.
Good luck with that.
Well, given the opportunity, kids will do it.
Really?
Given the direction and the ability to be individual in their interpretation, I think they, for the most part, now not all of them, because some of them are just like, yeah, whatever.
Well, some of them figure they've already been at school that day. They don't need to.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about, this is the funding. You have the trivia contest and you have the donation. This is a free program for the kids, isn't it?
Absolutely. Free from the beginning to the end. Yep.
That's what, whenever I talked with Coach McElravy there that day, and of course, Megan Berg from Peoples, she knew about it, because they're going to have kids that old pretty soon.
Yeah.
She was familiar with it, but Coach McElravy says, how much are these kids paying? What's the weekly... weekly knock for this? And I said, hey man, I think this is free. And that's just that's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's you know, from the get-go, we want it to be free. I mean, we want it to be, because the kids that need to be there most are families that can't afford after school care of any type. You know, and we do have some families that do contribute, you know, they give us donations along the way that help kind of cover the cost of their children. But, you know, but for probably over half of the people that are there, they couldn't afford traditional after-school care because it's just so expensive. So your alternative is your kids are home by themselves, or they're out, you know, unsupervised, and maybe not, you know, getting that snack afterwards and not getting their homework done and things like that. So at least we can provide that kind of service to them. And, I mean, it's really for us, it's just, I mean, you know, it's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, your service, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for me, it's clear. I mean, I would feel bad even trying to charge for it, because I don't even know how we would even...
I don't know how you would do it.
How we would value it, you know, because some kids are there 30 minutes and some kids are there
three hours.
Wow.
You know.
And there's some tutoring and that kind of thing, too?
Yeah, yep. We do have different tutoring. We have different people that... We have high school kids primarily that help with homework, but then we also have my son, Ben, does most of the more complicated math kind of stuff, and he's got a group of probably 6 or 7 kids pretty much every day that he... works with. On
what age kids do you have that doing the starting the critical thinking?
Well, actually, we're doing it for
all of them. Like kindergartners.
Mm-hmm. Kindergartners.
Hey, if you don't get them early,
they're not going to be thinking then.
I mean, if you've got to start that, whether they don't realize that's what they're doing. They think they're just drawing a picture, but they're drawing a picture that talks about what they just heard, and so that's critical thinking. They don't know it, but we're all for it.
Yeah. I'll be doggone. Yeah. I'm going to ask you, Catherine and Pat. Pat, I'm going to ask you, I want some trivia questions, too, whenever you...
Okay.
Because I was unable to make the... I was unable to make the trivia night, and I apologize for that. I did make the Wayne City one this a couple of weeks ago, but I was unable to make the yours. You put it in a basketball season. That was kind of tough.
Yeah.
Well. That makes it difficult.
Sorry.
Well, you know, we can't please everybody.
No, that's true. That's true. But and if it's working for you, that's great. You can't please just me.
Well, that, we should try, I'm sure.
That's right there.
Come up with some questions if you get a chance. We'll be back. We're going to talk more, we're going to talk just a little bit more about the Kingdom Kids. Then we're going to talk about softball. When we return, I've got Catherine Singleton and Pat Scarborough, and we'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show after these. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. I've got Pat Scarborough along with Catherine Singleton this morning, and we're talking about, we're going to talk about special needs softball. We've been talking a little bit about the Kingdom Kids. And before we get to special needs softball, I issued you the challenge. I wanted to hear some of the questions that I missed
the
trivia night.
You know, you missed the whole category of Bible math.
Well, I would have missed all the Bible math
questions. Apparently, we've determined that you wouldn't have done well.
I would not
have
done well. No, see, that, I play. That's why you have a team.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's right.
But we went with sports. We kind of went like more traditional. Like which the Memphis Grizzlies came from? Where? Where were they at before?
Vancouver.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The baseball player with the most at bats, I think it was.
Oh, really? Of all time?
Mm-hmm.
Pete Rose.
Pete Rose. Exactly. Yeah. So we kind of went throwback on that. On music, we did, what was...
So the college kids won again, though, huh?
They did win,
they
yeah.
They did. Mm-hmm.
They did really well on Bible math.
They did.
And maybe the entertainment, I'm not really sure. But
what was the music question?
Music questions were kind of more of a 70s era. We didn't do
who
anything.
Who has more hits, Taylor Swift?
Oh, yeah. Who'd won more Grammy Awards, Adele or Taylor Swift, before this year's Grammys?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, now that's a good one. Adele's only had a couple of albums, so I bet you. But she carried an armload of Grammys both times. Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to go with Taylor Swift, like 8-7.
No, Adele had won like 10 out of 13 that she was ever nominated for, and Taylor Swift had won like 7 out of 21.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it was really...
Adele, huh?
Adele, oh,
that's
yeah.
A great
Everything
question.
That she got... nominated for, she won.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
See, I had an Adele question in the ARF thing, too.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, she's immensely talented and immensely successful. That's...
Well, do you know what Beyonce and
Jay-Z.
What their music streaming service was called that is really failing?
I want to say iMedia or something like that, but that's not right.
The kids knew that one.
Tidal.
Tidal? T-I-D-A-L. Oh,
Tidal.
Yeah, because that's the one that you had to
right.
you have to be a member. No, you have to be a member to right. be able to download Beyonce's new whatever
exactly.
thing.
Yeah, kind of exclusive in who they have on their streaming service and stuff. So I don't think it really. I mean, I think it was in the news at the time because it is kind of failing. So,
yeah,
in the traditional sense.
No kidding.
So do you know what Chuck Berry's first number one hit was?
Chuck Berry's first number one hit would be "My Ding-a-Ling."
So close. No.
It's not?
No. Maybelline.
Maybelline.
Oh.
Why can't you be true?
See, now that, I didn't think, okay, on which chart? On which chart? I thought it only had like one number one. I thought My Ding-a-Ling. Well,
no,
maybe his last number one.
That was later, yeah.
Yeah, that was like 1970s.
Yeah.
That's great.
A lot of people thought it was Johnny B. Goode.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah, I would have guessed
people
that.
People went to that,
yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny B. Goode. Talking with Pat Scarborough and Catherine Singleton, we were... but that was successful. You had a good crowd.
We did. And we actually had a lot more teams this year. We had some people that just kind of hung around and made a team.
That was a
like,
soup.
Hey, sounds fun.
Was that soup and
No, we had pork chops.
We had pork chops.
Pork chop night.
Bone in pork chops.
I can't believe I missed this.
They were really good.
Yep.
With, you know, potato casserole.
You see, and the way you guys do things down there, this is all the Baptist church.
Yeah.
And the way you guys typically do things down there, you've got silverware as opposed to like
plastic. Did actually. We did have silverware.
And if you're going to have bone-in pork chops, you need silverware.
Well, was a request.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't have plastic silverware for bone-in pork chops.
No, we had real plates too, I believe.
That's not going to work.
Yeah, we did. We used real plates.
Well, you see, now that's great because you've got the cafeteria or the kitchen right there.
Mm-hmm.
It works well.
Met some wonderful people that cleaned up for us. We sure did.
You guys were busy.
A little bit.
All right, tell me a little bit about the, let's talk about the special needs softball. Been doing this for several years now, haven't you?
This is year 4, isn't it?
4, I believe.
Is this year 4?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've talked to you about it for 3 years, I guess. This is the third year that we've talked about this. Explain to folks what the special needs softball is.
Well, special needs softball is exactly how it sounds. Adults and children with special needs who've maybe never been able to play softball have an opportunity to play softball.
Have you, which field's going to be on?
We're going to be at Southwest Park.
Okay.
And we'll be on the very east field, the very first field as you turn into the park.
Oh, okay. Okay. Like I say, have you been out there lately to see the
I have not seen the new...
To see the new... you haven't seen... You guys haven't seen the new field?
I haven't seen the new field.
Too bad. That's the one you'd want to be on.
Well, you know, Bruce...
That's really nice.
Know your audience and know what to ask for. You know what I'm saying?
That's a really nice field.
But we do well on the east field. It's just the right size and it's, you know, it's not so intimidating.
How'd you get that... How'd that get started, Pat?
Gosh. Well... Seems like forever ago now, but I think probably 10 years ago or better, I started going down to Heron with my daughter. My daughter's in a wheelchair. And we started going down to a special needs softball that was played down in Heron. And we did it for probably 4 or 5 years. Seems like forever ago now, but we did it for several years. We'd go down there and do it. So we'd drive they played on Thursdays, and we'd drive down there every Thursday night. But they played all summer long. And we would drive down there every Thursday and go play. And then
no set teams either, right?
No, it's just whoever shows up, they make a team out of it, and you just kind of go from there. So we would do that, and my daughter really enjoyed it. I mean, in a chair, she really never had an opportunity to play. And, you know, just the people that do it, I mean, they have a heart to do it because, you know, in pitching, I mean, those guys stand out there and pitch, and they pitch until their arms want to fall off, waiting for the kid to get the hit.
Yeah.
Because there's no out. I mean, you know, it's giving them an opportunity.
You bat till
you hit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an opportunity that they just don't get, you know, for most of them had never had an opportunity to do. So we had did that for years and years and years. And I mean, she enjoyed it. She enjoyed going down there. She, you know, formed relationships with the people there. But for us, you know, after 5 or 6 years, it's a long drive
to Harrow.
And then you see the need here. I mean, it's like, okay, well, what if we did this here? And we were doing a disability study at the church, a Bible study about, you know, disability in the Bible and how God sees that. And at the King's Table.
That. Kind of flowered out of that.
It came out of that study. It's like, okay, well, why don't we just do that here? Why don't we, you know, why can't we? Do you think we can get, you know, 10 people to do it or, you know, or however many it is? And we generally average closer to 20.
We have about 20, 21 people that come.
That come out each week.
Now, when you're talking about the 20 or 21 people that are coming out each week, you're not talking about participants.
No, we're talking about 21 participants.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the volunteers.
No, we have about that many volunteers.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah. How many participants were they getting down in Heron?
Probably about the same. I mean, the biggest I probably remember seeing was maybe 25 or so. But, you know, it's one of those things where when you do special needs softball, especially any kind of special needs sports, you have to take into consideration the needs of what you have. And you may have someone who comes out and bats one time and sits down in the dirt the rest of the time because that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, especially when there's different levels of autism and things like that where it's, you know, hard to keep them engaged in it.
Yeah.
You know, and we do have one little girl in particular that we get her to bat pretty much one time and maybe go around the bases, and the rest of the time she sits in the dugout and she's happy, you know. So it's kind of that when you look at your number of participants, we may have, you know, 20, 23 or whatever there. But actively playing, we may only have 18 or 19. Because then they also get tired, and it's like, okay, I'm going to go sit down. We have a couple that, you know, one time around the bases. I'm like, I'm done because I just want to hit. I don't want to run the bases.
Yeah.
You know, different things like that because you have different levels of ability. And that's, you know, that's the beauty of what we
that
have.
That is the really cool part, though,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the when does it start again?
Starts on May the 14th.
What time?
8:30.
This is early.
Well, but we have to think about the heat.
Okay.
Because so many people that have special needs are also susceptible to heat.
Has it been 8:30 every year?
No, it was 8:30 last year. We yeah. changed it last year to 8:30. And okay. so we're and it worked, so we're sticking with it.
Yeah, and it had been...
I think we started at 10 o'clock.
The first year we did it at 10 o'clock.
And they got too hot real quick.
And then last year, the second year, we tried to move it back to about 9.
Yeah, I think that whenever and, I did was mm-hmm. I, see, I was unable to make it last year. We got rained out. Did you get rained out every week or
no. last year we got rained out two? We got three in last
yeah,
year.
We got rained out twice.
And you know the bad deal is with your daughter's not the only one in a wheelchair out there. There are others in wheelchairs. It gets tricky on softball diamond with
well,
the
absolutely.
Wheelchair. Yeah, you've got to have a pretty dry feel.
Yeah, you do. And then, like in her case, we always use her manual chair, which means that somebody pushes her
yeah.
instead of her power chair, because her power chair, she'd probably, well, first of all, she'd run over everybody.
She'd have fun.
She would knock them out of the way.
She'd have fun running down, running people down.
So, you know, we have to kind of limit that because she will go for you.
Yeah, is that right?
But, you know.
She wants to break up the double play, you're
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. Exactly. And she really loves it when we make her slide into home with a chair.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, she loves that too. You'd have to know my daughter to know the attitude that one look speaks volumes
yeah.
with her.
Yeah.
And every time we've ever tried to do it, because usually, you know, my husband or I will do it and we'll kind of, you know, we'll try and be fun with it and make her slide into home or something and like turn her backwards and stuff like that. And
yeah.
she really does not appreciate that.
Oh, is that right?
Not at all. So that's why if we let her have the power chair, she would probably run over us first.
That's great. That's just great.
True story.
All right. Now, we got to talk about some of the volunteers because and what we're the reason we're talking about is here today. Why are we talking about this? To get more people out to play, right?
Right.
More people out to play, more people out to watch. Because you know, and the thing that we don't really realize either is just the effect that a crowd has on some of these people who have never played. Because you look at it, and we have some kids down to you know, 5 years old, 6 years old, you know, just starting kindergarten, all the way up to you know,
60 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've got mid-50s and 60s out
yeah.
there playing.
One yeah. guy might have been 70. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that have never really had that opportunity to do a sport and have someone cheer for them.
Right.
Especially when you take these people who enjoy watching their team, their St. Louis Cardinals, play.
Oh, your Cubs, too, or whatever.
Whatever, yeah. Whatever. Mostly Cardinals, because they'll come out in the Cardinals jersey.
Okay.
You know, and have that cheering, because, you know, we had a guy point to the fence like he's going to hit like Babe Ruth,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, call his shot.
Call his shot and, you know, and just, and even, you know, like.
I think he did that. I think I've had him do that when I was
yes.
there.
Yes.
Dropping the bat down, getting some dirt on their
yeah.
hands and mm-hmm. the whole, you know, backing back out and
yeah.
the swings. Just the whole thing. So to have that, even to have that audience cheering them on is something that they just had never had an opportunity to. So that's good. And we enjoy that. I mean,
right.
our crowds have been decent going out.
Yeah.
But, you know, every time that you get an opportunity to invite more people out to come and see what we're doing. And then also to kind of see, okay, wait a minute. I know someone who might do that doesn't feel
well,
like.
See, now that's the other
right,
thing.
Right, that's the other thing.
That's the other thing. Folks might think, okay, well, you know, it's special needs softball. Who would want to do that? But if they come out and watch it, you'll see
yeah.
that, yeah, it's you've got autistic people. You've got folks with developmental health issues like
right.
your daughter does. And you've got all kinds of different. It's a special
right.
need.
It's special need.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, just it's a full gamut. I mean, you just never know. I mean, and sometimes standing out there, you wouldn't necessarily know what the disability is by looking at them.
Sure.
But you start to talk to them.
And
you see it or you watch them run. You know, in some cases, it's, you know, they really can't run. I mean.
No.
And they've never really had an opportunity to do that, so.
How's Ralph's arm?
Ralph is ready.
I hope he's rested.
Ralph is ready.
Ralph Barbary, ladies and gentlemen, is the all-time pitcher for special needs softball.
And he's very good at it.
He does a great job, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, and Randall Baker catches for us usually, and they're a good team to help mm-hmm. them help them bat. And I know Ralph spends a lot of time trying to get the ball right into where they'll hit it. And
yeah.
that's a lot of effort. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many pitches go across that plate.
Well, you see it when I've been out there, and basically you'll do two or three innings, right, or something like that.
Yeah, we're trying to do two.
And hey, for both teams, you're looking at two times at bat for each kid, because you're for each
participant
player,
right? Mm-hmm.
Because you're gonna bat around each inning. I mean, it's not like we're keeping score,
right?
You're batting around, and Ralph's got to throw to 50 people out there without a break.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is, you
because
know,
we are slave drivers and we don't.
That's
let him
exactly
have a break.
Right. You don't let him have a break.
No water for you.
Do you have tees? You ever put a tee out there?
We do. We have a couple of kids that hit off a tee.
Okay.
We also have one boy who hits off of with a
wiffle ball.
Really?
He brings his wiffle ball and his bat, and he's ready to roll, and that's what he wants to hit with, and that's what Ralph pitches to him.
It's a little bit lighter for him to swing.
Okay. Well, I was wondering why he was swinging a wiffle ball bat as opposed to a real bat.
Yeah, I think it's the weight.
Probably.
He can get behind it and hit it.
How about that?
Yeah. So you just never know what you're going to see out there.
See, now that's the thing. You could also see things like Matt Holliday yesterday. You talked about Cardinals. Matt Holliday, he took a walk, right? He walked, and you know, so he basically starts heading to first base, and he throws his bat, tries to throw his bat toward the dugout. He almost hit the umpire with it. That's maybe a reason somebody would use a wiffle.
That's not cool.
Well, we had 2 years ago, we actually had like meetings on the mound or whatever, where the batter brought around people together to have a discussion about the pitcher. You remember that?
Yeah.
Just kind of had a little powwow, like a little coaching decision before he'd swing. And then, you know, kind of back out, and then he was ready to swing. And then he did it a couple times.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that one. That must not have been the one I was there a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's funny. Because he just kind of, you know, he was trying to get things his way. And, you know, he'd seen him have meetings on the mound or whatever. And
so he was out there to tell him how it was going to be.
Exactly, right. Pretty much. Mm-hmm. So, and that's cool.
That's the fun of it.
That's the fun
that's
of it.
That's right.
And it is, I mean, it's a good time.
And the
kids
are having a ball.
Yeah, everybody who does it, you know.
Players.
Everybody.
Not all kids, yeah.
And the thing about it is when you look at it, you know, it's just like, you know, Catherine sent out the things. I mean, they're really quick to get them back of, you know, I'm ready to do it. Or if we see them out.
Oh, you've sent information.
Well, to the people that have participated before, we've sent information. And we'll be happy to send information to anyone else that maybe hasn't done it.
If somebody's interested, who do they get a hold of?
The church.
Get a hold of you at the First Baptist, or get a hold of probably of Pat, right?
Yeah, well, yeah,
right. At the First Baptist Church at
842-3764.
842-3764. I've got Pat Scarborough and Catherine Singleton here. We're talking about special needs softball, and we're having a good time. We'll be back with more on the Bruce Dickey Show after these.
July had a firecracker waiting to blow, breaking like a rifle who was making his way to the cities of Mexico. Lived in an apartment out on Avenue A, had a tar on a corner of town. Had myself a lover who was finer than gold, but I've been broken, I've been busted up since. Love don't play any games with me anymore like she did before. World won't wait, so I bet she thing right out there through the door. Hell, I still love you, New York. Found myself a picture that would fit in the folds of my wallet, and it stayed pretty good. Still amazed that I didn't lose it on a loop of the place when I was drunk and I was thinking of you. Every day the children, they were singing the tunes out on the streets, and you could hear from inside. To take the subway on the house and the third, I would wait for you and not try to hide. Love won't play any games with you anymore if you don't want them to. World won't wait, watch you shake, but honey,
morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. Had a good guest over there on the other side. We're talking with Pat Scarborough and Catherine Singleton, and we've been talking about special needs softball. Okay, now you said you've sent out letters to folks. What's the you've been getting good response from your former players?
We have gotten some response from our former players, yes. And the thing is that they don't have to bring the stuff until the day of.
Yeah.
So whether or not I get a response, we assume people will be there. But I've gotten two back.
So, but you're wanting to make sure that these folks know to when right. What the schedule is.
Right. Right. We start.
We also have to have, you know, legal releases or whatever it is to
right.
use the park.
I mean, that's basically what
just
it
like
is.
Like you do any kind of waiver. You
oh,
know,
really? I didn't know you had to have that. I guess that makes sense. Though,
I think all
it?
Softball, baseball, whatever, you always have to, you know, the kids have to have them. So.
At the park?
Yeah.
The park
yeah.
requires
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we get those out ahead of time, and that way when they come, they're ready to play.
But you can also fill them out when you get there.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, it's.
And you only have to fill it out once.
Right. Right.
For the year.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I presume.
So, yep. and so while the person who's playing is getting ready to play and they're warming up and stuff, whoever brought them can fill out the paperwork.
How much money do I have to pay to
absolutely nothing.
What? This is a free deal?
We're all about free.
You guys are all about free. That is the coolest thing.
Yeah. I don't think we charge for anything, do we?
No.
Wow.
It's free.
That's pretty cool. So they're able to get out there in the sun and enjoy the nice time. And this starts again. This is special needs softball. Starts again when, Catherine?
May the 14th, Saturday.
Saturday, May 14th. If somebody's wanting to come out and watch, what's it take? Like an hour, 2 hours?
Hour and a half. At the most, hour and a half.
Yeah, it depends on how many people we have batting. You know, I mean, basically an hour to go around twice.
Right. If there's 10 people on a team, you know, it takes a few minutes to bat everybody around.
So Ralph's a pitcher. Mm-hmm. Who was catcher, you said?
Randall Baker.
Randall Baker's typically mm-hmm. catching. Who else are some of your normal volunteers? Because you'll accept, volunteers,
I am
too.
The, all over utility player extraordinaire. If a ball comes.
So you play it in the field.
I am the protector of children.
Really?
And so I am the comic relief.
So if a ball comes towards them. I go diving for it to save them from utter chaos. Which is
unless they're paying attention.
Which
to
is
get
what our
them
volunteers are supposed
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. Yeah. See, Catherine is the one who falls over her feet trying to get the ball.
That is a correct statement.
So that's how it rolls.
Well, Catherine.
Oh, we've just had, well, that's just how, it's who I am, Bruce. Hello, my name is Catherine.
Now, and if folks want to see this, how it basically works out is you're trying not to let the players get hurt. If there's somebody
right.
hits a screaming line drive or something,
right.
there's a volunteer at each fielder, isn't there?
To knock it down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. See, now,
except out in the outfield, and we have just a couple out in the outfield because generally we only have a few people that can really hit it out there.
I was going to say, have you had anybody put a poke out there very much?
Yeah, we've had a couple.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding. Is there on that field, on the east field, is there a fence? There is, right?
I'm not sure. I think, yeah.
I know there is.
Is
on the west
there
and
is.
The center, of course.
I think there's a fence. We've had someone get it, you know, roll to the fence or whatever.
Really?
Get it in the air. So we've got a couple of.
So do your children or players, do they get fired up having to run after that thing? Or they just say to heck with it?
No, they're serious about trying to get them out. It mm-hmm. just, you know, by the time they get to the ball, it's
right
pretty safe.
Does Ralph get pretty angry when somebody puts one out there like that?
Actually, no. Ralph's very supportive.
And then we also have hecklers who heckle our pitcher.
Do you are the players heckling the pitchers? Or
they do actually a little bit, but
we have a couple of
spectators
pitcher.
That really
yeah,
enjoy that too.
We want a pitcher, not a belly button itcher, that kind
right,
of thing.
Right, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But it's just
a
really good time.
You take everything that you love about playing Little League or you know, any of that stuff from the time you're a kid up, whatever. You take all of that fun stuff, that part of it, and that's what we have.
What level of disabilities are we talking about here?
Gosh, we have.
I mean, it runs the gamut, doesn't it?
It really does run the gamut. It really.
I mean, you just have different levels of.
I know some of the kids I saw. You've got Down syndrome mm-hmm. kids playing.
We have autistic.
Autistic kids playing. You've got folks with different diseases.
Yeah, we have some cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy.
And okay. We have, you know, my daughter has spina bifida.
Yeah.
We have a couple that are just more on the developmental side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the ones that when you look at them, you really wouldn't know there's something, you know, actually wrong with them. But they're developmentally delayed and just, you know, in that have just never really had the opportunity to do some of these things.
It's like one of our neighbors, too, I think, plays mm-hmm. out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually,
several of our neighbors.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
A whole little group.
Roger will play out there, won't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
In his Cardinal jersey.
Well, Roger will come out in his Cardinal
jersey. Roger's serious.
Roger, it's serious business for Roger. Yeah, you know, I'm hip whenever I called that game. Oh. Roger was fired up.
Yeah, absolutely. He was. Oh, my goodness. And you called his name, and man, his back straightened up. He was ready to roll.
See, now that's the tricky part. They've got the PA on the center one. I wonder if we can figure out a way to get. See, I didn't use the PA last time.
We didn't
there.
Use the PA last time.
Hey, well, we got to make got to make sure that my cold is gone.
Well, okay.
By the time.
Which, by the way, before we get off of here, the Softball Association has been really good to work with.
Who are you working with at softball?
Jeremy Ellis.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't try to shunt you off to different parks or anything like that.
No,
or
they take care of us. They take care of us. They're just good to agree even to let us do it
and let us use equipment and bases and bats and all that
right.
good stuff. I mean,
we use their tee. I mean, it's that kind of yeah.
It's cooperation, isn't it?
Cooperation. Absolutely. They see the need and they see the, what am I trying to say?
The good.
The good in
the good
it.
In
the
it.
Benefit of it.
Yeah. Just.
How much good are you, what are you seeing from the players? Do you see kids coming out of their shell some? Or,
we do. And we see people that generally were maybe not as outgoing and talkative.
Yeah.
You know, and then really I think it's just the opportunity. And that's the best part about being on the field is really just to be able to see the way that they respond, because I think in some ways we tend to look at people with special needs just in this, maybe in some ways that, you know, they can't do it, or we know, or
wouldn't consider
that they
right.
would, or it wouldn't consider how much they would enjoy it.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the thing about when we took my daughter, because when we first did it, it's kind of like my other daughter had played softball, and I mean, she enjoyed it, and, you know, it's like, well, I guess we can go try it and see what happens, and if she likes it,
whatever. Was it surprising how much
you liked it? It was very surprising, and it was more surprising to us, the fact that she didn't want us, you know, it's like, I'm here, you need to go sit down.
Didn't want you guys helping.
Right, because, you know, I can do that, and even now, I mean, she really, we're not her helpers there. I mean, we help other people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and that's one of the things we see. We see the independence come out, and some kids and some even older, you know, adults that really haven't had a lot of opportunity to just be.
That's the fulfilling part, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, just seeing the joy and just seeing, like I said, there's times we go out and at any given point, you know, we'll see someone who played softball with us and they'll ask about it. You know, when are we going to play softball again? Or, you know, and those kind of things where they're excited about it. And then they associate that with, you know, what we're doing there. And ultimately, you know, when we do it, you know, we also do, and when we're done, we do a little devotion and then like a snack.
Yeah.
You know, and even in that, it's just, you know, this.
Well, it's really a camaraderie too.
Well, right,
the kids may not get the opportunity to have right. all that much, certainly in a sporting environment.
But I think it also too just keeps going from what we, you know, where we started from, which was a study in disability and the way that God views disability, and the way that, you know, He created each one of us uniquely as we, you know, as He intended, and. You know, sometimes we don't see that in other people. We want them to be something else, and this gives us an opportunity to see people as God created them.
Undervalues, you know, we undervalue that population, and that's not right. That's not how God intended it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we give them the opportunity to, they're up there hidden, they're up there, and just communicating. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, and then, you know, we form relationships with people that we wouldn't have had relationships
right.
with.
Right.
Well, that's just wonderful.
Well, and just to see parents, too. This is not something that parents have had an opportunity to right. see their kids do.
Really?
You know, they're...
I bet you the reactions you get are just amazing.
I was thinking of this the other day, and it was like 3 years ago, and this one young man, he was in his 20s, and I remember his dad didn't think he would do it, wasn't sure how this was going to happen. Could he even do it?
Yeah.
He hit his first ball, and I'm telling you, I just happened to be looking at his dad at that time, and I'm telling you, the look on his face, and he just jumped and
the
was
joy
just
of
so
it.
Excited for his son.
Yeah.
That it almost makes me want to cry right now. I mean, really. I mean,
well, that's what, that, you know, that's just great. We're talking I'm talking with Catherine Singleton and Pat Scarborough about special needs softball. And this starts May 14th, right?
Correct.
Saturday, May 14th down at Southwest Park. What time?
8:30.
You'll take volunteers, but you also want fans, and you'll take players too, right?
That's right. We'll take it all.
Yep.
If anybody wants more information, they get a hold of you, Pat?
Yep, at the church, First Baptist Church, 842-3764.
3764. Ladies, best of luck. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Thanks.
Thanks, Bruce.
And I'll be out there. What date am I going to be there?
June 11th.
June 11th. All right, I've got the date. Thank you very much. I appreciate the reminder now, and I'll need one later.
And I'll be sure to call you later.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. Have a great one.